You're listening to Rosemary Goes to the Mall, the saga of one woman's lonely journey around the Mall of America. I wake up this morning and I realize that I have to return those Pumas. The guilt has really been eating at me. I don't know what it is. They seem kind of frivolous. I mean, satin Pumas. How practical is that? I can't really walk very far in them. They kind of look cool, but how many times am I really going to wear them? I know that I'm sort of hiding them and not dealing with them and not bringing them out into the public, and not bringing them out, for Keith to notice for real. And I know that this is a sign that I should bring them back. I have already bought plenty of stuff for myself, and I think it's time to, you know, to not be so frivolous and not buy shoes like that that really are not practical and I'm not going to wear very often. So that is the first order of the day. I enter the mall and once again notice, as I have pretty much every time I've entered the mall, the River Church, which is right next to the Holiday convenience store, where I often buy little granola bars and waters and things to keep me going. The River Church, it says the River Church in this giant sign, and then underneath it, it says, a safe place to figure out what life is all about. And there's always people in there just sitting in there. Usually they're chatting with other people. There's a huge plasma TV screen in the window that scrolls information about upcoming events that they're having there, just general stuff about Jesus. And it seems like a very inviting place. I'm not sure there's anything to buy in there. Maybe a Bible or some pamphlets or something. I'm not sure that I could get a bag out of them. But I do think that it really would be worth it for me to stop in there and have a chat with them. I'm not going to do it today because to be honest, I'm feeling a little tired. But I do think that before I switch sides and go to the East Wing, that I should take advantage of this wonderful opportunity. The only thing that makes me nervous about that is, what if they get my information and then they start calling me or stopping by, or, you know, what if they're really into converting people? And once I show interest, then it's going to be all over for me. I know that that can be what it's like with the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, when they come by, if you say argue with them or engage them in any way, then they never stop coming by. That happened to my friend Natasha in California. She made the mistake of getting into an argument with them, you know, philosophical argument about the existence of God. And then she had to hide all the time because they would come knocking on her door almost on a daily basis. And it got to the point where she had to pretend she wasn't there. And she lived in fear of these guys just because they just wouldn't leave her alone after she decided to engage them. So anyway, that is my fear, but I just feel like what a wonderful thing that they have a church in the Mall of America, and I would really like to find out more about it. However, I am going to leave that to another day. And the first thing I want to do today is go and get my fortune, which I've been doing a lot of days when I come and visit. My friend Nicole got me hooked on this because when she came to visit, we went to the mall and we went on some of the rides, and she was really into it. She was way into it. And they have this fortune teller machine that's a lot like the one in the movie Big, where, you know, he wishes he was big and then he gets to be big. It's like out on Coney Island or something like that, and or some old amusement park area, and this fake mannequin fortune teller turns him big without him you know, knowing it. And then at the end, he has to go back and wish to be small again. Anyway, this is the kind of fortune teller it is. Very low tech. I mean, there's like a turban wrapped around a mannequin head and then this kind of shawl thing. And the shawl has kind of slipped down so you can see the wooden structure that, you know, of her, what would be her chest, except it's just a few wooden sticks holding her up. Anyway, you put in two tokens, which you have to buy at another machine. And it says, look into my crystal ball and tells you what your lucky color is, which so far has on most days been white and on 2 days, including today, has been red. And then it shoots out this little card, which is your fortune. Now, I have gotten really lousy fortunes up until now. Nicole got this really rockin' fortune, which was like, you know, you're super ambitious and it's all going to come true and you're going to get everything you ever wanted. And that was her first fortune. And so she's convinced that this fortune telling machine is for real. Like it really tells your fortune and it's all this stuff is really going to happen. And of course, I got a fortune, which was like, you're a nice person. Keep being nice. Watch what you eat. You know you can't eat too much because you'll get fat. And then the last part was that there's a dark-haired person who has it in for me. So I didn't really find this fortune to be all that satisfying, and I was not as convinced as Nicole that this was for real. It just didn't seem that satisfying to me to think that this was the fortune that was mine. This is it. This is your future. Don't eat too much. You'll get fat. However, clearly, there's some kind of draw for me, and because I keep going back and I keep going back thinking that one of these days I'm going to get a kick-ass fortune. So I go back today and I go and buy my tokens from the token machine and I put two tokens in and she tells me that my lucky color is red and she shoots out, she shoots out a fortune for me. And let me read this to you because I'm actually pretty happy with this fortune. Now, you may find yourself working hard to finish a project. I mean, that, how perfect is that? That's exactly what's going on. I am working hard to finish a project, a seemingly unfinishable project at this point, to visit all of these stores in the mall. Okay. Your ideas have been right on target. That's really nice to hear. However, you may have to burn the midnight oil sort. Okay, it says sort to speak, but I think she means so to speak. So however, you may have to burn the midnight oil, so to speak, to get where you want to go. So I'm going to have to work really hard, clearly. Some people give up their designs when they have almost reached their goal, while others, on the contrary, obtain a victory by exerting at the last moment more vigorous efforts than before. You are one of the vigorous people. For you are happy to persevere to the end, for you shall inherit the earth and great fortune. Inherit the earth. I mean, can you get any better than that? Believe in the fact that diligence is the mother of all good luck. You are about to prosper. The lamp of genius burns quicker than the lamp of life. I don't know what that last line means. I don't know if it means I'm a genius and I'm going to burn out quicker, or it means I'm a genius and I move faster than most people, or I'm a genius and I'm going to die young, or I'm not a genius and that's okay because they will burn out, but I have the lamp of life, which is diligent and long burning. And this seems to be like a last man standing type of fortune. Like, you know, you just keep at it and it's going to happen for you. And I think this is a really kick-ass fortune. And I have to say, I think that's it. No more fortunes from the fortune teller, because I think I just got my fortune. Well, I return the Pumas and I return the rest of the stuff, and I feel a great sense of sadness when I return the Mia sandals at Macy's and the Prada sunglasses to the Sunglass Hut. The sunglasses in particular, they really empowered me in some weird way. And it's funny because those Kate Spade sunglasses from Solstice also had a really strong effect on me. I just loved them. It's funny because I've rarely, if ever, worn sunglasses, but for some reason, they seem to symbolize for me a kind of like I've arrived kind of feeling, like I'm cool kind of feeling. And man, those Prada sunglasses, I have never coveted Prada anything. I mean, I've gone to the Prada store in Soho and oohed and aahed over the Rem Koolhaas design and, you know, wow, look at all these, you know, flat screen monitors they've got and so cool. But I didn't actually look at any of the stuff. And I know that it's a super big status symbol, but I've never sat around wishing that I could own Prada stuff. But man, those sunglasses were so rockin'. And I do feel like if I could own something like that, I would just feel like $1 million. I would feel like, well, I don't know whether it's like I had made it or like I was just cool and I just was really together. I'm not sure, but there's something about them. However, I am no longer in possession of the sunglasses, but somehow I feel that their spirit is within me still. And I want those sunglasses. I still want to shop for the lady with the Prada sunglasses today. I just feel like this is somebody who I would love to be if I had all the money in the world. And I think it's worth pursuing that. I didn't think I did such a great job of that last time. But maybe I think it's worth pursuing again today. My first stop today is actually DSW Shoes again, which is not in the part of the West Side that I'm actually trying to finish. But I bought those Adidas sandals for Keith that he had asked for, and I got them home. And I thought that they were pretty much exactly like the ones that I'd gotten for myself, which he said he wanted. But it turns out that the sole of mine has these little bumpy things which are supposed to massage your feet, and the ones that I got don't have that. It's like these little bristles. It's almost like walking on a brush or something, you know, with like really short plastic bristles. But the ones that I got don't have them. So we've been hanging on to them. He hasn't worn them yet. And if I see another pair like the ones that I got for myself, I'm supposed to buy them. So I go back to DSW, which is where I bought my pair, and I go to the men's section and see if they have a pair like that for men, and they do. And they're $25 as opposed to the $20 that I paid at the other place. But he really wants those little bristly things in the soles. So I think that's probably worth the extra $5. I'll have to return the other pair now, but that's pretty easy to do. I've got a pretty good system down for the returns now. Anyway, that's not even on my route today, but that's my first stop. My first real stop, my first legitimate stop for the day is H&M. And I go here first, partly because it is first in terms of the loop that I'm going to do. But that, if I go here first, that leaves that Helzberg Diamonds store and the Jessica McClintock formal dress store for last. And I have to work up my courage for those two. But also, I really like H&M, and it's got cheap, nice clothes, and I always end up finding lots of stuff that I want. And so I kind of want to just feel relaxed and just be able to shop, which kind of goes in the face of my saying that I'm going to shop for the lady with the Prada sunglasses. But H&M is kind of a special case for me. And so I just go in and start to look for me. I have in mind that I'll also try on slightly more glamorous looking or cool or fashionable looking stuff than I would normally wear just to push myself. So I do grab off the rack this sheer green and blue floral blouse, which I assume would be worn over a camisole or something. It is very see-through. And so that's going to be my attempt at appeasing the lady with the Prada sunglasses. In the meantime, I grab a handful of cheap tank tops off the rack. And there's this really nice off-white and brown floral blouse. It's also sheer, but with one of these tank tops underneath it, I think it would look really good. Very summery, really nice, and it's full price. It's not on sale, unfortunately. So it's $30, but I try it on and it looks really nice. On my way to the register to buy that blouse and the tank tops, because I tried on that sheer blousey thing and it was really hideous on me, I find this long, again, brown, or might be a sort of a browny purple cotton jacket. It's almost identical to the black one that I bought at Nordstrom Rack, which I happen to be wearing today, but I really like it and it looks really good on me. The color is perfect and I almost like it better than the one from Nordstrom Rack. It's $50 and the one from Nordstrom Rack was $35, and I've also been wearing the one from Nordstrom Rack for like a week or two. I know that this is probably something that I should return. You can't possibly need two jackets that look almost exactly alike. They're just different colors. But here I am. I just really like it. I'm going to think about that one and it'll probably get returned, but the rest of the stuff I'm keeping because I really like it. When I walk into Cachet, I am greeted very enthusiastically by the sales girl there, who is this very attractive black woman with short hair, super stylish clothing. And she is just all over me. I don't know when people are all over me, if they're just all over everybody or they smell someone who's ready to buy or what. But to be completely honest, I could use a little space. The clothes in Cachet, you know, I've never been in this store before. I've seen a number of their shops in New York and elsewhere, but I've never actually been in. And you can't tell from the outside whether this is a really trashy store or whether this is a really fashionable store. That's really expensive. When it turns out to be the latter, at least the expensive part, it has lots of sleeveless blouses that really sexy, glamorous people would wear, which I would not. And I'm trying to get back into that Lady with the Prada sunglasses mode where, you know, I'm really looking to be someone I'm not. But I have to say it's a stretch here. And then the sales girl is really bugging the crap out of me. She will not leave me alone. I pick a few things off the racks, a couple of these little sleeveless, blousy, glamorous items. I pick out also this sweater jean jacket thing. It's like a jean jacket front and collar. And then the sleeves in the back are this really thick cable knit sweater. It hovers on the line between hideous and fantastic. I'm not sure which one it comes down on. Probably in a really fashionable person's hands, this would be quite a find. I try it on and to me, it's just the least hideous thing that I tried on. The jeans that the sales girl picked out for me, they're they're like super, they're super stretch and they kind of hug your ass like, it's just way too tight and just not, it's really not me. I am not accustomed to really flaunting my rear end like this. So, and the blousy things, no, it's just never going to happen. I knew that when I picked them off the rack. But the sweatery, jackety thing, in another life, yeah, I could imagine being cool enough to pull this one off. I'm not currently cool enough to pull it off, but in another life, I might be. The thing costs $185. It is definitely not a cheap purchase, but I'm not going to get out of here with a cheap purchase. I can tell that already. And I'm a little scared off buying stuff off the sales racks because some of these places will not take, will not give you refunds for sales items. So I don't really want to get into that. In any case, I decide to buy the jacket sweater thing. And she continues to harass me. I mean, it's like, oh, are you sure you don't want to buy a pair of jeans with these? Our jeans would match the color really well. Oh, what are you going to wear it with? And I say, just a t-shirt. And she says, well, one of our little cream-colored camis would be perfect. Do you have a cream-colored cami? No, but I just want to buy the sweater jacket thing. And finally, the credit card thing goes through and it's fine. She asks for ID and sees my New York driver's license, which of course I've never changed. I've never gotten a Minnesota one. And then she finds out I'm from New York. And so then we have to talk for another 10 minutes because it turns out she's from New Jersey originally. And all in all, I feel kind of bad for her because she's very eager. And, you know, this, I don't know. This just can't be fun. She's not that good at it because she's so eager and a little too pushy. I think if someone wants a classier shopping experience, they would not go to Cachet. In Banana Republic, I have a different dilemma, which is that it is also pretty expensive, and yet it's much more my style. So the problem for me here is not to do with what I did in H&M, which is just buy stuff that I want to keep, but actually to buy something that the Prada sunglasses lady would like, but not that I would like. So I keep away from the sales racks, and I pick out this cute orangey dress that I think maybe she would wear. And this tank toppy type thing, it's more fancy. It would go with jeans, but in a more dressed up kind of way. I also try on a few other things, a few shirts that are really nice. And there's a few nice jackets too, but they're super pricey. And I already feel like with that $185 jacket sweater thing that I'm pushing the envelope today. I end up hating the dress, and though I know that I could just buy it just to buy it, I decide on this camisole tank toppy thing that has brown design on it. It's actually really pretty and very flattering. And if I ever got dressed up in the summertime for, you know, I don't know, cocktail parties or something, this might be the kind of thing that would do just right. As it is, I probably would never wear it, although I am pretty confident that the lady with the Prada sunglasses would wear it, especially with those Mia sandals. So I think this is a pretty good purchase in that regard, and probably my first successful purchase in that direction for the day. I'm getting to be like a machine where I just go from store to store and just boom, boom, boom. I just get all this stuff. I am, however, taking a little longer than normal today. I'm not feeling very well, and to be honest, I'm not completely into it. The clothes shopping in particular, because you have to try things on slows me down, and I do get into this dilemma about who exactly I'm shopping for. Am I shopping for me, in which case I'm in trouble and I'm going to have to force myself to return things I like, or am I shopping for this other alter ego with the Prada sunglasses? And that is harder because I'm not really as cool as that, and so it's hard for me to make decisions. Part of me thinks that if she were in any of these stores, even Cachet, even Express, she would probably know exactly what to buy immediately. She would not be waffling like I do. She would probably just have a really strong sense of style and just go straight for things that were really great looking. I do not share her fashion confidence, so it's a little bit of a stretch for me. But I am at the end of a string of clothing stores, and I go to the other side because I'm at the Macy's courtyard, and I did Macy's last time, and right across from Banana Republic is Brookstone. And Brookstone is one of those stores that I used to go into when I was a kid and play with the massage chairs and all. I considered it a really expensive store, although I have to say I'm in it now and there's plenty that's pretty reasonable. I would expect it to be more expensive than it is. But I go into Brookstone and I figure I'll buy something pretending it's either a birthday present for my mother or for Keith, depending on what I find there. And there's all kinds of stuff. There are these travel pillows, and I'm actually thinking that my alter ego would probably have a travel pillow, but then I get kind of stuck because there are the nice colored ones, and there's this really nice green one that actually would go very well with the spa towel or spa wrap that I got from Origins the other day. But then that would be really nice, and probably my alter ego would really like that one. But then they also have these hot pink ones, which I think are fantastic. But then I get mixed up about whether Lady with the Prada sunglasses would like a hot pink travel pillow. She's probably not that kitschy. She probably would go for the other one. But then I like the pink one better, so I get kind of confused and I just walk away. I figure I'll see if there's anything else and go back to that if that seems to be the only thing in the store that I could get. There's all kinds of crazy stuff, crazy grill sets and, you know, lights that you can wear on your head and all kinds of things. But I settle on this barbecue basket, which again, I'm not really sure that this is for my alter ego. I think this might be for me, but it's this barbecue basket that you can put fish and vegetables in, and you just flip it right in the basket and then it doesn't all fall between the barbecue grills onto the flame and get destroyed. And this would be invaluable for me because I'm constantly trying to scrape salmon off the grills and get it not to fall in between so that we actually have some left for dinner. It is nonstick, which is a plus. Although I did read the other day that we shouldn't be using nonstick pans and things because of the chemicals that they have, that they release onto them and that they think cause cancer. So I'm a little mixed on it, but I, you know, it's such a practical thing, and I'm obviously not going to get a massage chair, which is what I really want. And this barbecue basket seems just practical enough that maybe Lady with the Prada sunglasses would want it because she's so fantastic that she has her little barbecue grill on her back balcony or her back porch or whatever. And of course, she's been marinating a little piece of fish all day and is going to entertain with some like fantastic bottle of white wine. And she's super sophisticated and all that. But this seems, maybe this is up her alley too. In Harry and David, I I sort of have a dilemma. I don't think that any of this stuff is probably returnable. Maybe some of the closed jars of condiments and things, but it seems a little bit like a Godiva situation. And I'm trying to figure out what to do. I managed to finish off that entire box of Godiva chocolates on my own. And that really pissed me off that I did that. I just kept them in my refrigerator. And the first day I ate two, the second day I ate two more. And then the third day I just finished them off. And I really don't want to do this again. And yet I am completely drawn to these chocolate truffles, inexplicably. I could get a bag of nuts or something really healthy, but I can't keep away from the truffles, and I know they're not returnable, or at least I suspect they're not returnable. And really, I think what's happening is that I really do want some more, and I do want to have them in my refrigerator, and I end up buying a bag of dark chocolate truffles, a bag of truffles, a bag. That's a lot of truffles. So I open them up as soon as I get out of the store and I have one. And they're not nearly as good as the Godiva ones, by the way. But they'll do. And they make me feel kind of sick because I haven't eaten any lunch. At least I got dark chocolate because that's supposed to be healthier for you than milk chocolate. And I've developed a taste for it. Although I suspect it's really just as fattening and just as bad as anything else. In the Minnesota Vikings locker room, I'm just all business. I don't screw around. I'm getting pretty bored of being in stores that I have no interest in. So I just pick up the first thing I find, which is a Minnesota Vikings football, and I march right to the register and purchase it. Boom, done. After the Minnesota Vikings locker room, I am so overloaded with bags. Even though this doesn't seem like I've hit that many stores, I go to the locker bank by the entrance and I rent a locker so I can leave the stuff in there. It's getting a little unwieldy. I have three stores left to hit before I'm done with the West Wing. And the first one is Lily Rubin. And this is a store I am not familiar with, but it looks to be a fancy pants women's store with lots of formal wear. And one side of it is really, 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 really expensive clothing, a little bit like cachet, a little bit less trashy looking, a little bit more sophisticated. But I focus on the jeans. I clearly, after my cachet experience, the tops are problematic for me. I find two pairs of jeans. One is a pair of regular denim with this whole embroidery thing around the waist and around the ankles. The other pair is what is called on the tag novelty denim, and they're brown denim with this really nice embroidery both on the back pockets and all the way down the legs. So it's got this floral embroidery in the same color thread all the way down. And I always dig jeans like this and pants like this. I wonder how many times I would wear them if I really owned them, because they're not super practical. They're more going out clothes, I think. I try them on. It turns out the denim jeans with the colored embroidery are weird. They're floods. The bottom of the jeans hit right above the ankle. God, I can't imagine who's going to wear these. Are floods coming back in style? I don't think so. They are $160 jeans that look horrible. I try on the brown pair and they're pretty cute. These are $130 jeans, $128 to be exact. Pretty expensive, pretty pricey, but they will get me out of the store. And I will I would love to own these, but I won't have big problems bringing them back either. Now we have gotten to the last two stores, which I have been dreading since my last visit when I first saw them and realized that I had to buy something from them. The first is Jessica McClintock. This store is a store of formal wear. It's somewhere between prom dresses and black tie dresses, maybe both. I figure maybe they sell stockings or something and I can get away with that. But in fact, they don't. They sell jewelry, but to be honest, I have more than enough jewelry stores to go to in this mall, and I don't think that I can handle a jewelry purchase right now. So I just start pulling dresses off the wall and bring them in back to try out. I say to the sales girl, who's very nice, I said, I'm buying this dress. I have to coordinate with other people for this event, and I'm wondering what your return policy is. And she says that I have 3 days to return this dress with the tags on it. And I figure I can do that. In fact, I will return it tomorrow. I bring the dresses into the changing room, and it's kind of funny to try on these dresses. I picked out the simplest, most classic looking dresses. Strangely enough, I thought these would be wildly expensive. This dress costs the same amount as the pair of jeans that I just bought next door at Lilly Rubin, $128. There's a longer brown one, but this gray one stops right at the knees, and it's a little bit more flattering. That super A-line skirt that really poofs out on the brown one and is much longer. Classy, but makes me look a little fat. The gray dress, very nice, very classy, strapless, but, you know, kind of flattering in this nice way. And part of me even wishes that I had something like I had an event that I could wear something like this to. I have never been a bridesmaid. Well, no, that's not true. I was a, quote, attendant at my brother's wedding, and they had two of us, two women, one on each side, and I was on my brother's side, and they picked out these very lovely lilac-colored dresses. But this is a real formal dress. I've been to plenty of weddings where they had really formal bridesmaid dresses, but I never, you know, I never had the chance to wear one. And it's funny that I say that because I think probably having to wear dresses like this fills a lot of women with dread, because a lot of women get stuffed into some pretty fancy but not necessarily very flattering dresses for weddings. Some people look fantastic and some people don't. And I'm sure that had I been chosen to be a bridesmaid for someone, I am sure that I would have been stuffed into some really unflattering purple, violet, you know, sack of expensive cloth that I would have had to pay for, and it would have made me very unhappy. And I should consider myself lucky that, in fact, I have not been asked to be a bridesmaid and had to wear something like this. However, I do have this moment in the dressing room trying on this dress where it's like, you know, the path not taken or the life not lived. I wonder if I will ever be asked to be a bridesmaid and to wear something fancy like this. My own wedding, which my friend Natasha was my maid of honor for, I just told her to go out and buy a dress that she liked, which she did. And it was very unwedding-like, and it was perfect. However, having been to a whole bunch of really fancy weddings at this point, you know, it's like a club that I haven't been invited into or something. In any case, I purchase the gray dress, and I'm kind of taken with it. To be honest, I don't think that the lady with the Prada sunglasses would wear something like this. She'd probably wear something far more fabulous. But it's kind of cute. So Jessica McClintock went pretty well. I was really, really dreading it, thinking I was going to have to get something horrible and really, really have some kind of masquerade with the salespeople about buying it. It would be a big to-do and I'd feel guilty about lying. And it didn't turn out like that at all. Which gives me hope that Helzberg Diamonds will not be as bad as I think it's about to be, because any store that only sells diamonds is probably not a place that I should be shopping at. I've really actually been losing sleep over this one. My credit card has plenty of room on it, but, you know, I just don't even want to be responsible overnight for something that has a diamond in it. I mean, what if I got mugged? You know, I mean, I've had a lot of anxiety about it. Keith has also been having anxiety about it, and he asked me not to talk to him about it anymore. I told him that I'm not going to do anything stupid or anything that he's going to be upset about, and he said he trusts me, and he says he knows, but I have to stop talking to him about it nonetheless. In any case, I am pleasantly surprised because the first counter at Helzberg Diamonds is men's watches. I know how to do this. They don't have any diamonds in them anywhere, which is perfect. And I simply immediately engage a salesman and tell him I'm looking to buy a present for my husband's birthday. And he is very pleased to help me, and he shows me all the different watches. And the last brand is the Citizen brand watches, and it has an Eco Drive in it, which is apparently the new thing. And it is a watch that doesn't need any batteries. He explains it to me, but I don't totally get it. I think it like runs off a solar panel or something, but it's got some kind of a renewable energy drive in it, which means you never, ever, ever have to change the battery. These are not nearly as nice as those really slick Swiss watches I was looking at Ben Bridges Jewelers, where I got that beautiful Swiss watch for Keith. But I do like this more square, rectangular faced watch with a metal band that's a Citizen one, so it's got the Eco Drive. And it also, like that Swiss one, has all these multiple little twirly whatever. They're not clocks, but they do different things. I'm guessing that one of them is minutes, one of them is seconds, and one of them is hours, but I can't completely read it. But I like it, and I say, well, just to be sure that if my husband doesn't like it, he can bring it back. And they said yes, that I have 30 days to bring back the watch. And that's fine. That's perfect. This watch is normally $325, but their price is $239.99, which seems like a steal. And of course, I've worked up this whole thing about it being a present for Keith. And I tell the sales guy that I'm going to buy it. And he asks me if I want it gift wrapped. And it's the same thing as in Ben Bridges, where it's a spur of the moment thing. I have to make a decision quickly. And I tell him to do it. And then I'm kind of horrified with myself. But on the other hand, if you're buying a present that is that expensive from a jeweler for your husband for his birthday, wouldn't you get it gift wrapped? It kind of doesn't make any sense not to. But I still kind of have guilt about it. On the other hand, he passes it off to the female sales girl at the register, and she ends up wrapping it. So it's not like last time where the Ben Bridges guy like sat there fumbling with the wrapping paper going, why can't I tie this bow? I don't know why I can't figure out how to tie this bow. And I felt like a complete ass. This one is like, I like wrapping gifts. I always make them wrap gifts. Whenever somebody buys something, even if they think that they don't need to, you're like, no, you've got to wrap it for her. It makes it special. If you're going to spend this much money on a gift for her, you have to get it wrapped. To be honest, the wrapping is not nearly as nice as at Ben Bridges. And in general, it doesn't seem like quite as classy a place as Ben Bridges. Ben Bridges is by far my favorite jewelry experience so far, but it's not like an Osterman's or one of those more scrappy jewelers. This is definitely the real thing. It just, their wrapping paper just isn't quite as nice, I have to say. Well, I am done with the West Wing of the Mall of America. That is one quarter of the retail stores. Now, I have skipped the kiosks, but I feel fully justified in doing so because I've checked out the situation and most of them don't have their own shopping bags with their own logos. They just sell things in those thank you shopping bags. And that doesn't seem worth it to me. Also, a lot of them, you can't return things. It's a lot more, I don't know. It's not really the full-on retail experience that I'm looking for. So I skipped those, and there were plenty of those, and it would probably take me 3 more days to do all of those kiosks. But, you know, you have to draw the line somewhere. In celebration, I decide to go to lunch at Wolfgang Puck Express, which is down by Nordstrom. And Wolfgang Puck is some kind of fancy chef. I think that he might run the restaurant at the Walker Art Center. I'm not totally sure. In any case, I hear his name all the time. And so I'm looking forward to this place. I've been thinking about it the last few visits. And I go in and I order my chicken pesto sandwich with a side of Caesar salad. And I go out and with my water and my sandwich, and I eat it in the courtyard outside of Nordstrom's, and I just feel like celebrating. I just think it's fantastic. You know, I have completed one full wing of the Mall of America, and that means I'm one quarter of the way finished. Halfway through lunch, I realized that that's not quite true, that I forgot to go back to Abercrombie, the teenage girls Abercrombie and Fitch store. And I can't believe I forgot to do that. But to be honest, I am just pooped out. So the first thing next visit, I'm going to shop there and then start in on my next floor of one. You know, I think I'm going to go south next. I don't know why. I just feel like going counterclockwise for some reason. So Abercrombie and then starting in on the South Wing of the Mall of America. Stay tuned.